Right now in Australia Overnight, it is, well, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to the daughter of one of our regular callers here. He's a man, Jeff, you'll know him well. He calls up and always, with a great amount of pride in his voice, tells us about his daughter, Renee, who's footloose, fancy free and untied to, well, I guess the dreary life of mortgage and staying in the one place at the one time. She has hit the road with her husband and a child. And she lives an itinerant existence, going here, there and everywhere and meeting everybody in between. She joins me on the line now to talk about, well, her lifestyle choice, I guess you could say that. Renee Helms, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Renee, my introduction was broadly correct, wasn't it? You reached a point where you said, well, we just want to kind of just travel around with our son and the open road will be our backyard.
Pretty much. We just got a little bit sick of the normal 9-to-5 and wanted to do something a bit different. So we did.
Now, I guess one of the things that helps that process is the fact that both of you have, highly sought and portable skills. You're an emergency nurse and your husband is a carpenter. So that makes that sort of life choice possible, doesn't it?
It does. It definitely makes life easier. That's not to say it's not impossible if you don't have those skills. I feel like there's always work if you're willing to give anything a try.
Yep.
But definitely it helps that we can get, you know, at least a decent income in the jobs that we're skilled to do, and they're both able to pick up work pretty much anywhere we like, which is great.
Now, when Jeff first told us about your lifestyle, I was thinking, okay, well, that's going to last a couple of years and then they settle down. But that's not the plan, is it?
No, not really. We met travelling around Europe, and we've always been travellers, and we had planned to settle down. We had a child, we thought we were settling down,
yeah.
But we weren't ready for it, so we decided to do this. And yeah, we've been 2.5 years so far, and we're planning to jump the ditch to New Zealand next year and do the same thing over there.
Ah, okay. So can you tell us what then you miss out by not being a part of, let's say, a community with roots in the area? What is there anything you miss out, but on the flip side, is there anything you gain?
The things you gain is more time for yourself and your immediate family.
Yep.
But you do obviously lose that extended family and that extended support network. So
yep.
Obviously the grandparents and the aunties and uncles and the cousins, being away from all of them is difficult. We've had people come and visit. My mum and dad have come, I think, 5 or 6 times. We've visited home a few times. My sister and her nephews are going to meet us in Broome for 2 weeks.
Oh, so lovely.
It's fantastic that happens. But, yeah, you definitely miss them. And you miss the babysitters because it's very hard to get a break from your son and have a break just the two of you when you've got no one to look after him.
Yeah, well, that's all he knows of life, isn't it? Like kind of life on the road. And does he get much time with other kids?
He meets a lot of other kids, meets a lot of other kids of all ages. We find other travelling families tend to have primary school age kids, so they're often a little bit older.
Yep.
We're stopped to work at the moment. We're doing a 6-week contract at the moment, and he's going to daycare 1 or 2 days a week, so he's meeting lots of friends his age, which is fantastic. And there's lots of ways to seek people out. Like, we can find play groups. Lots of other travelling families have social media pages. We can seek them out. We can arrange to meet, for us too, to meet other people. So it's fantastic.
So do you think your lifestyle would be possible then without social media and that kind of technology?
Oh, of course it would be possible without it. We travelled, we did a trip in 2010, so pre-social media days, just the two of us, and we still met lots of people. Less young people, more older, sort of grey nomad types, but you always meet people when you're travelling.
Okay.
Part of the fun.
You mentioned meeting other families, and one of the things that I saw in a Western Australia, I think it was Channel 10 profile of you guys, mentioned that more and more families are doing this. They're ditching the house and hitting the road and letting the Great Australian Outback be their backyard, again, to kind of paraphrase. Are you noticing that?
Definitely we are. And it's hard to know how much of it is because of social media and how much there actually is more people. When we went last time around, we met a few families, but not as many, although we didn't have children ourselves that time, so that could have been something to do with it. But now there just seems to be so many of them. We're just coming across other travelling families all the time, and so many of them have said they've seen other people doing it on social media and thought, well, you know, why not? Why don't we do it too? So I think social media has a lot to do with it, definitely.
Now, you have a Facebook page that has over 30,000 likes. I hope I've got that number right. But what one of the really interesting things on it, it's a terrific website, if only for the photography and just the scenery of the stuff that you guys just take as an everyday occurrence. What I thought was really interesting was your series called The Realities of Full-Time Travel. Now, I imagine that's a very popular series. So for anybody contemplating this kind of lifestyle, you've covered off things like showering, other people on the road. What other sorts of things do you need to be aware of before you hit the road full time?
Yeah, well, I guess, oh, God, there's so many things. A lot of it you just learn as you go, though. I think just giving it a go and learning as you go. But, yeah, you have to think about where your water supply is coming from, where your power is coming from, yeah, meeting other people, being in close contact with random strangers, camping next to them, you know, where you're going to camp. There's lots of extra things to think of. But, again, you just sort of learn as you go and you just have an open mind and you go and you see what happens.
Okay. Now, you're in Karratha at the moment, and at the end of that six-week stint, where do you see yourselves heading off to?
We're going to backtrack a little bit. We were heading north, but we came here in a bit of a hurry because a good contract came up, and we're going to go back to Exmouth. We're going to do a humpback whale swim and camp on the Ningaloo Reef for a week or two.
As you do, yep.
Yeah, and then we're going to go inland to the biggest rock in Australia, Mount Augustus in WA, and try and climb to the top of that. We'll see if the four-year-old makes it to the top.
All right. If he doesn't, he's soft, and
yeah.
Just leave him behind and he can be raised by dingoes. That'll harden him up.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Renee, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for that, and good luck with everything, and I look forward to following your adventures via Facebook. The page is called The Great Escape Australia.